Bat Boys are back with a brand new adventure. Sam, we have a lot to talk about.
Yes, Tim, and it's not just that ridiculous mustache you're sporting for your first date tonight. We have a lot of Valencia content.
A lot of Valencia content. But dude, we have space content.
That's right.
We could talk about space, talk about our dating, but we won't. I think we should stay on track, Sam.
Tim, we did talk about Rods from God a few weeks ago. That was some high-level space content for the listeners, but I think we should stick with our bread and butter, our remit, Tim.
Our remit. And our remit is to know how to pronounce Valencia players' names. And there was actually a debate here.
Brian Heal,
everyone. Mariba. You know, we have great names on our team. I don't want to give away too much, but really, really sexy names. Maxi Gomez. Like, that's a good looking name, right?
That's a great name. Yeah.
Great name. Carlos Soler. Jose Gaya. I was just reflecting on that. We got a pretty good names on our team.
And it's not Jose Gaya, it's Jose Luis Gaya.
Jose Luis Gaya.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Well, Sam, the Valencia CF ambassador. Did you know we had an ambassador?
I thought they were all ambassadors.
I learned something about our club and La Liga every day. We have an ambassador. His name is Ricardo Arias. He spoke out about the refereeing decision, Sam. And he said the refereeing criteria is not unified. And there's a lot of controversy about the Bilbao Copa del Rey match, the PK that we were robbed, the tie. So we got to go into that. And we got to talk about a little bit about Sociedad game, because I think it was an interesting game.
There was also a PK call that went not in Valencia's favor for Maxi Gomez this time.
Yeah, that's right. Sam, let me ask you this, though. Maxi Gomez got a red card first half of the Bilbao match. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
I was looking at the stats and I was like, did I miss this? Were we playing 10 men second half?
But we
weren't. He must have just been walking down the tunnel and said something. Did you know about this? I kind of felt silly not knowing this. Yeah, I just looked. I thought Google had it wrong. So anyways, there's a red card in this match. But Sam, I think the theme, we got to talk about the themes here. One of which is, which lineup are we going to play? Lineups are different each time. Brian Heal is, man, he's a real talent. I want to get your thoughts on him. Elias Mariba seems to be starting midfielder for us. He's now started several games. So I don't know. Where do you want to start with this Bill? Why don't we work backwards? We go Bill Bell match.
Tim, I want to tackle both of these penalty calls first. If we can, let's get the controversial out first. The second PK was the more egregious one on Hugo Duro. The guy, Hugo Duro, gets in front. It was just like this ball slipped in front. I'm not sure who delivered that pass, but Hugo Duro does a great job of getting in front of the defender. The defender takes his legs out and then like proceeds to, because he's falling down, tackles him like an American football sense somehow. And the ball is to the left, right? Like the ball is not where the defender was. It was one of the clearest cut penalties I've ever seen, but he didn't get the call. Everyone's sort of asking, you know, where is VAR? And I guess this like goes into this, it really opens up some, introduces some like big questions about VAR. What is the point of VAR? And I don't, for subjective calls like that, if the referee is looking at it, because the referee saw it completely, right? It was right in front of the referee.
He was right there. Yeah.
It's not as if you have, this was a line, like an offside call where he couldn't tell or something happened behind his back. This is right in front of him and he doesn't make the call. Are these guys, does VAR step in that scenario? It's a legitimate question. I don't know.
These are philosophical questions.
Because he saw it. Like, he saw it happen. And so, and if you watch it, it's not as if I was more convinced of it when I watched it on replay. I was convinced of it when it happened. It was absolutely a PK. The ref didn't give it. But what's interesting to me, and I think this is what connects both of these, is Ugo Duro jumps up and he's like, and he's pointing to the VAR. He's doing with his hand motion the VAR. Like, this is absolutely a PK. He gets a yellow card. Maxi sort of did the same thing against the Real Sociedad match where he goes down. He's immediately pointing to the VAR. I feel as if I have yet to see that actually work. I feel like when they call for the VAR that egregiously, they're not going to use VAR. It's like it's just, it's too much. But I really don't know. I don't know if VAR should be used in that sense. But I also struggle with, like, what is VAR trying to do on subjective calls? I get that they're trying to do, and I'm not even willing to concede that offsides is entirely subjective. I think it really depends on the camera angle and like the precision of time. A lot of times, you know, the stills that you see of where the ball is leaving the foot, it's a tiny bit different from one still to another. So, you know, these frames that they show us that are supposed to like convey the sense of like 100% objectivity, it's not that at all, you know, for offsides. But again, to me, it just begs this question of, what is VAR doing? What is the purpose of VAR?
I mean, Sam, I don't know. I think what you're asking, or how I think about this is, we've just shifted the subjective nature of the call from the call to the decision to use VAR.
Yeah. Right?
So if we didn't have VAR, we would just be yelling about the call, but now we're yelling about the use of VAR. I don't know.
Yeah.
All I do know, Sam, is the Spanish refereeing consistently gets it wrong. They do not use VAR consistently. It's never used well. There's consistent examples of when they should or should not. In some cases, I feel like there have been cases where VAR is used. It's still not clear if it should have been overturned. I think it's a disaster, Sam. And I think that call, for me, VAR should have been used there. And it was clear and obvious. I think that's what they're trying to say. Was it a clear and obvious error? I mean, anyone who saw that, the foot and the arm in his back, it's, how is that not used there? I don't know. I think I know why it wasn't called, because he did go down pretty emphatically, quickly. I think he went down a little too easy. And he had been probably a shit all game. Hugo Duro.
Yeah, I think that's for sure true.
And he was giving the referee problem all game, and referee didn't want to reward him that PK. But that's when VAR, I think, should step in there. I don't know. I don't have the answer, Sam.
I do disagree that he went down overly emphatically. Like, the guy tackles him. I mean, like the guy lands, like when the defender falls, the defender is falling on top of Ugo Duro. Like, it's not as if I think with the Maxi one, with the Maxi one, I feel a little bit differently, because Maxi was definitely tugged. I feel as if Maxi was tugged when he was going forward. And so then Maxi does this awkward thing of, he like leaps backward. And I mean, the guy was clearly fouling Maxi, but I think if Maxi had just fallen in a more natural forward, in a forward way, then it would have been okay and maybe been called. But it was this weird sort of, that was my at least theory at the time, because even though he was being fouled, he did this sort of unnatural fall where he goes backwards, that they didn't call it. With Ugo Duro's, that's clearly not the case. It was a very natural fall, because the guy tackles him from behind with his
feet. I don't know if you could say, I think he eventually makes contact, but at the point where he puts his arm on his back, which is the foul,
I think it's his feet is the foul.
It looks like he does hit him in the feet.
I think it's his feet. He trips him. He clips his feet. And then he gets his
feet. But the arm there, he kind of drops very quickly, because he knows the contact is coming. I think the foul was there. I don't know. In the referee's defense, Sam, Maxi Gómez is sort of a bullshit artist, right?
That's what we like about him.
Right? I mean, he draws a lot of fouls. He gets center backs yellow cards. So when you see him go down the box, you're like, yet again, Maxi, do I award that to you? I don't know.
He's developed a reputation. I think that's bad, but I do think he still could have gotten that perhaps that PK, if he had just gone down in a natural way. But again, that wasn't what happened with Hugo Duro. But Tim, I guess more generally, you said they're not using VAR. Is it the referee's decision? Is the referee initiating this, like, hey, can you take another look at that? Because I don't think that's how it works. I feel like VAR is stepping in when VAR sees something that the referee doesn't. Like sometimes it's like, you know, like there's a handball on a corner kick and the referee doesn't even see it. And then they'll call, then they'll tell him.
Right. It's up to the guys in the box.
I feel as if they don't make that call, whether the decision was right or wrong, if it's right in front of the referee, because then it's just clearly, it's not as if you missed something. You saw it. You just decided this wasn't a foul. And if that was the rule, then like, let's just say that's the rule, right? Like if it's something that the referee missed, okay, maybe that's what VAR is going to do in these sort of subjective PK calls. But this one, like, there's no way this isn't a foul. So you're either telling me you don't want to overrule the referee because the referee got a good look at it. And if that's the case, then make that the rule. Or like you're not overturning a very clear and obvious error simply for no reason. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. The way I perceive it is, or the way I understand it is that it wasn't clear and obvious and they felt the referee got a good look at it and made the call based on what it was. So even with the foot and the arm in slow motion, it was like, well, there's enough subjective nature to this that we'll just defer to the ref. I don't know why they wouldn't. I don't know why they wouldn't. Because when you're running full speed too, Sam, and even if you're 15 yards behind, you don't see that clip on the foot.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think it's easy to see that always, right? You might be looking up the upper body, looking for the hands. I didn't see the clip of the foot until maybe the third time I saw it. VAR should have caught that and seen the foul, I think.
It was crazy. But then if VAR did do that, then you're just saying to the referee, this was right in front of you, but you were wrong. You gave the kid a yellow card. Like, I just felt as if there was this weird Spanish ego that got like pulled into this whole VAR episode that we saw on display. I do think you're right as well about the fact that Hugo Duro was irritating and that Max is irritating. And I mean, this is something I would like to see Bordalas try to sort out, Tim. Yeah. I love how annoying our team can be to other players, but I do think it's hurting us with refs. Like, we don't have to like yell at the ref every second. I just don't think it's helping. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I think it's really the topic of the team right now, Sam, is whether the style of Bordalas or maybe the way he's implementing it is as effective as it can be given the players we have. One idea about this, Sam, I thought actually with the Sociedad game, we did a great job. I think the team now is doing a great job executing Bordalas' style. If you look at how we press, you look at Yunus Musa, you look at all the players on the field, we force long balls. We have Diakabi doing very well, cleaning all those up. It's in the moments of the Bilbao game, though, Sam, that you're like, well, we're causing chaos, but how many chances does it result in? One? Yeah. A half? So by the 55th minute, I was going to text you and say, we need a sub because we're not going to get a shot on goal until the 70th minute. And it wasn't until Sam, Brian Hill started getting on the ball a little bit and they started passing around and like possessing it. Then did we get like chances and actually we could turn the game around. So it's a weird duality in there, like where we're just causing problems and lumping the ball up. And then, but when we do get success, it's because Brian Hill can get the ball down on the floor. So do we need to play that style to be effective?
I don't necessarily think, I don't necessarily think that we have to play that style. I just wonder how this year would have been different if we had had Gabriel Paulista all year. I just want to foot stomp this. he is our best passing center back.
Yeah.
And he's been a crucial part of the team forever. And part of why he's such a great center back is his ball distribution. He's just so good. And we've seen Diakabi, I think, improve dramatically this year from a defensive perspective last year too. But his ball distribution is still terrible. I mean, it's not good. Aldrete, I really love as a player. I love his intensity. I love everything about him. But he doesn't have as much class with his feet as Paulista has. And maybe that'll change. He's still a really young player. But I don't know. I think, you know, you got to have center backs. You got to at least have one center back who can like distribute, you know, a 30-yard pass to feet.
Yeah.
Because it just opens up everything up. It makes that short pass easier.
Yeah.
And right now it's just like when we're in that situation, it's just like Diakabi is just going to hit it up field or hit it out of bounds.
Well, Sam, I don't think they're looking to possess the ball at all. Like when we have the ball, when you want to like play, you spread the field, right? You add depth and you add width. We're not doing that at all. We push high and tight and we lump the ball. And if you look at like Gaia, you know, he'll just lump the ball up to the, you know, far corner. Hopefully someone gets their head on it. So I don't know. Diakabi and Aldrete aren't even in a position to really prove themselves, even if they were getting better on the ball. So Bordalas still is saying, I don't want to hold the ball. I don't want possession. I want to win the ball up high in the field or counter. So even if Paulista was there, would he even use him in that way? I don't know if he would. I don't know. But I mean, Sam, I think this is the topic I wanted to bring up is, when you possess, if you want to possess a game, if you want to possess the ball and have a midfield that can play, you need all the players to be able to possess the ball. And like, it's not just the midfield four, right? You need to be able to have supporting players do it. Fouquier, Sam, he can't pass or dribble. It's not really why he's in there. And he's playing every position. So Bordalas is saying, I don't want to pass the ball. And you can see it by Fouquier playing forward sometimes. He plays right mid. He switches to like left back. He doesn't come off the field. He plays five positions. And I think it's because he just transitions well. So I don't know. I think Bordalas doesn't want to, even if Paulista's back, would it make a difference?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, Tim. I don't think he's telling them not to possess. Your Jose Luis guy point is a good one. I don't know. I would like to see you're right.
If you want to possess the ball and you want to dominate a midfield, you don't play Fouquier.
But who
he's not a guy who's gonna add space and move the ball around. It's not the player you play him in, or else he'd play right back. I don't know. Even if you look how we start our attacks, Sam, if you look at the kickoffs, I mean, Solero hit a 40-yard ball to the center backs off the kickoff. So we don't even want – it's like those Muay Thai fighters, you know, that just start with their backs on the ground and they try to, like, get you and grapple you. Like, that's the Bordalas style. And it wasn't until I think we started changing our approach a little bit and getting the ball down the field that we even get results with Bilbao. So I don't know. I'm curious. Now that we have Brian Heal, we have Elias Moriba, who seems to be the starter. Rosic is not getting a lot of minutes. So Lair's back. Guillamon, hopefully if his nose isn't broken, he's back. Maybe we do have a midfield that can play. And we see a different style, a little more balanced approach to these games. I like to see that, frankly.
Yeah, Tim, I would like to see that too. I mean, I do think, I do think it's just a little unfair because we haven't, for almost all the season, we really haven't had the people in place at every position to really play very beautiful soccer, right? And but we're starting to get it. We're starting to get back
there. Starting to get there. Actually, Moriba was pretty good, man. I think he's like, I've been very impressed. Yeah. Even in his, I mean, he's what, he's 19. I feel like positionally he's very good. He's good on the ball. I think he's far more comfortable than Rosic is. Yeah. So that's another player that is on the field that can pass the ball around. What do you think about Chomer at this point?
I mean, I think it's a little too early. I think, you know, you play, he's playing his first La Liga games, his first La Liga competition. The first game he's thrown into was the quarters, right, against Cadiz.
Yeah.
Pretty tough, you know, a pretty high intensity game.
Yeah.
The first, your first time playing. I think it's undetermined, too early to really make a call.
Yeah, he seems to be getting a nice welcoming to La Liga. I think he's cramping a lot and struggling to finish games. Could just be his fitness level, just the intensity of La Liga. These games, Sam, are intense. Did you see the Betis Vallecano game?
I did not watch that one.
These aren't any notion of La Liga being a tiki-taka, all technical. That's out the window, man. This is a high pressing, fast transition league. Yeah. These games are just super high intensity. And I bet you he's just he's struggling a little bit with that intensity right now. But he seems to have he offers a lot. I mean, he just seems like so far when he's fit and doing well. I mean, he situationally seems very, very strong.
Yeah.
And he's all, you know, he's always been in position. So, I mean, so far, so good.
I think
where's Paulista? Where is he?
I think he's coming back, Tim. Every time I look at Super Deporte, there's something about, you know, several weeks out, you know, some sort of complication they're referring to. But I feel bad for the guy, and I want him back soon, man. He's so good. And it's been hard because I do think this team it's got a lot of talent. And I think we can get in a good position with a proper coach. And I know that a lot of people don't agree that we have the best coach or a proper coach, but I think we do. I'd like to give him a little bit of time. He's still experimenting. He's still kind of seeing what works.
Right. Well, I think he's in a transition mode with those few pickups. Brian Hill changes things a lot. It changes the makeup of that lineup a lot. So how do you, that's a weapon we haven't had in a few years, right? Dude, Sam Cheryshev was over there.
Yeah.
That was our guy, Cheryshev. Now we have Brian Hill, who's like, man, he's better than I thought he would be.
He's so
better than I thought he would be.
I'm just sad, Tim, that we didn't pay more, even if this was an option, to get him for next year or two, or to get some buy option, because, you know, you kind of imagine, you know, Guedes has a second half of the season as good as the first half, it might be hard for Valencia to keep him, but there could be, you know, if he has 20 goals as a midfielder or as a second forward, you know, there could be huge offers coming for him. And you could see a scenario in which, like, you have to sell Guedes for 70, but you get to get Gil for 30 or something, right? Like, you could have seen something like that. But we don't have that option, but it's still possible. I could still see that. I could still see, like, maybe Tottenham saying, hey, we'll give you guys 40 and swap these two players.
I mean, I don't know what happened with him over at Tottenham. Why didn't he get a good look? There's no way he wouldn't have done well coming off the bench or being part of that team. I mean, he just is so strong.
I don't know.
And he runs all game, you know.
Yeah, he's so fun to watch. I mean, he's so fun. I love – he's just another one of those players that you're just super excited when he touches the ball, which is – it's great.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see Sam as he, you know, continues to be a starter, how he's going to change the lineup a little bit. Do we need a 5-3-2? Do we have him out there? Do we continue to use Fulkier as like a utility guy all over? Can't we use Marcus Andre now and have a proper winger on each end and then have two center midfielders or something like, you know, I don't know. I just think we have more firepower now to stop just dumping the ball in and playing this different style. I just wonder how far that takes us, but we'll see.
I don't entirely disagree with you. He definitely cares about defensive discipline from his wingers. And he gets that from Fulkier, who plays ostensibly right midfielder, but really, you know, right defense.
right defense. If you look at Moriba, I was watching his position against Sociedad. And Sam, he's like the 5-3, but when they're
back, if a coach told me, hey, you're going to play left midfielder in a three, I'm like, okay, great. Where do I go? He's like, you're going to sprint out and press the outside back. And then when they pass it, you got to sprint all the way back to cover when the other midfielder presses the other outside back. I'd be like, wait, you want me to run 50 yards every transition? Are you kidding me?
Like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm switching teams. Mariba did it. He did it. He pressed all in those right areas. I mean, he did it very effectively. It asks a lot of the team, though. And it asks a lot of Soler. Soler probably had 5 touches.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many he had. We should look it up. But, I mean, are we getting the most out of Soler? I mean, he's just shooting everywhere. He's not getting a lot of touches. So, I don't know. I think it's worth the debate.
I hear you, Tim. But I will just say, I think we can criticize Bordalas's tactics a little bit, maybe the level of gamesmanship he's instilled in his players, that perhaps that's backfired a little bit. And we can lament these penalty calls that were not made, but there's also a lot to be happy about, Tim. We're one leg away. All we have to do is win in the Mestalla, and we're in the Copa del Rey final. And crazy. Listeners, if that happens, Tim is flying to Los Angeles for that week to watch the Copa del Rey in Los Angeles.
Oh, that's already right. That's right.
Already locked in.
Sam is not only my podcast partner, he's my life coach. He is also my scheduler of vacations and trips.
That's right.
Chairman of trips and visits. Yep.
That's right. And not only that, listeners, if Valencia makes it to the final, Tim is going to fly here for the Copa del Rey final. And then if Valencia wins that final, the your favorite Bat Boy host, that's me, not to be superfluous, but obviously me, I'm flying with my family to New York sometime in May to celebrate post Copa del Rey. So a lot of fun, exciting things.
You heard it here. Can't take that back, Sam.
Yeah.
We're not taking these episodes down. Well, Sam, well, here's the thing. I know I'm being a little – I wanted to spark debate, but, Sam, we had a clean sheet. We let in one goal against Bilbao away on a silly set piece, but still looked very good. You know, a month ago we were letting in 2-3 goals at a time, silly goals. So in that regard, we're far better. And we can still get a trophy here, Sam. I think we can beat any team. That is the benefit of Orlov's team. I think we can beat one-on-one any team.
Yeah,
still. Very exciting. Okay, Sam, we're running out of time, but I wanted to bring something up.
Oh yes, Tim, please.
We had a transfer episode two episodes ago, and you really, really concerned about the Adama Traore sub. What's going on at Barcelona? And they just beat Atletico 4-2. Traore had an assist and a double assist. I think Dani Alves had a goal and assist or two assists. Just admit it. You might be wrong here. I think Traore might be something there. I don't know. I didn't see Aubameyang. He got it in like 70th minute, but.
Yeah, look, I think
I like this segment for the pod, Sam. Sam was wrong, what Sam got wrong.
Yeah, this is actually
an easy segment to fill. Really,
it's an interesting segment. We only can do it once every 4 years. Tim, my point about Traore isn't that he's not going to be a short-term benefit.
Yeah. But
I think this way this Barcelona project has been presented to the world for a really long time.
Yeah.
Has been just, it's like their stupid slogan of like Mosque un club, right? Like this is more about collecting players, and it's about La Masia, and it's about the integrity that they have. Oh. And that if you ever leave Barcelona, you can never come back, right? And Xavi said this, a player who leaves Valencia or leaves Barcelona, yeah, I would never bring back. And obviously he goes back on this with this sub and with this move. And then, with Obama, and I don't know what they're going to do with Dembele, but they said if Dembele wouldn't go, they wouldn't play him. I bet they play him, right? And so all these things that
I agree. I don't disagree with this. I just wonder. I think you were really critical of the transfers, and in hindsight, I wonder if it was not a bad deal given this crappy situation they put themselves in. I don't know.
They were mercenary deals.
Yeah,
and which is fine. That's what clubs have to do.
Yeah,
but you can't also do this whole thing of like, well, Messi should have stayed here for free because it's Barcelona, and act like a mercenary club. I dislike that, right? I dislike, and I think that could hurt them in other ways. I think that could hurt them in their locker room, for example. Yeah. When you get players, willing to take these huge, these huge reductions in their pay while simultaneously buying other players that left
buying
Barcelona
on
their own or that never had any part of Barcelona. So I don't know. I think this is long-term. It's unclear whether this is in their long-term interest.
Yeah. Well, Sam, there is a new segment. It's called When Sam Got It Right. How about that? Every episode we do this. Unbelievable.
100 times.
100. the whole podcast is this, really. Sam's right. Let's hear how Sam's right again, ladies and gentlemen. But I didn't think Villarreal had it in it to beat Betis, and they win that game. And I think that says a lot about potentially Villarreal making a little run, because Betis is so good right now, Sam. God, that midfield's so good. And then they, they're able to win 2-0. So you might be right here. You said they were going to get top four potentially.
Yeah, I think they're going to get top four. And that's not to say I don't think Betis is too. I think I had Betis.
No, you did. You did. I just think I was just surprised by the Villarreal win. I really was.
I also thought that Sevilla was more likely to finish third than first. And I think that's going to come more true as the weeks progress. I'm still not completely persuaded. The Sevilla team is extremely solid, but I don't think they have that much more quality than any team that they play against. So they have a lot of depth, but so they'll probably finish second, but I think they might be able to, it might slip to third.
So yeah, well, they win today, but they drop points against Osasuna. I think Rakitic missed a PK. So there you go. These little things. This is a Sevilla slump, perhaps. All right, Sam, we got to wrap things up. I think we tackled the big pressing issues facing the nation.
Yeah, the nation, the world, Tim.
The world. These
were global issues.
The world. And that was, how are we going to win the space race, Sam? How are we going to win the space race? How does VAR add to this? Where does that fit in?
Yeah.
These are the big pressing issues.
What is the relationship between rods from God and Bordalas's tactics? We need to put that on an XY chart and map it out.
That's, I mean, no one's, Sam, also speaking of aliens, how old is Bordalas? I don't trust it.
Tim, in a similar glow up situation, we often talk about how Bordalas went from a middling poor man's appearance wise, a poor man's Rafa Benitez, to the extremely handsome figure that he is now.
Yeah.
I was also, you know, per the Olympics, looking at pictures of Sean White, however many years ago, where he looks like Carrot Top's less attractive cousin.
Yeah.
And
like 18.
He's looking pretty handsome sometimes. So yeah. I have to say that, the Sean White, good question. Who had a better glow up, Sean White or Bordalas? Question for the listeners.
Let's hear it. All right. Well, Sam, until next time, we'll talk about Alaves. We got to get to here Sunday, 8 a.m. And so we'll see everyone back Monday evening.
Monday, normal time. That's right, then.
Okay.
Adios.